Welcome to It Takes a Village, a Gaggle podcast. Listen in as we dive into education topics, speak with industry leaders, and share the latest updates from Gaggle. Today, we're excited to share with you a conversation with Paul Zimmerman from Blaine County School District in Idaho. Paul is the technology innovator and Google administrator for his district. He's been working with Gaggle for the past 10 years and is a great partner. So we thought we would share with all of you a conversation we had together. And so I'm really happy to introduce Paul. And so Paul, welcome to today's conversation.
Thank you for having me. Good times.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for taking the time today. And we're really looking forward to this conversation. So why don't we start, Paul, with why don't you just give us an introduction of what it means to be a Google administrator and what brings you to this podcast today?
Sure. So I have two roles in the school district. On the Google administrative side, it's I oversee all the Chromebooks and all the user accounts and all of the stuff in the Google apps. It's Google Workspace now, but Google apps forever in my heart. All of the stuff that intertwines into it. So we've got, you know, the Chromebooks. If we run a pilot program of maybe Minecraft or something, how does that tie in? How can we leverage the Google platform to easily dispense that to our students? Lots of single sign-on stuff, lots of really complicated tasks, but my job is to make sure that the user doesn't notice or that it's as easy as possible for the user. And I work with all the guys in our department to make sure that those kinds of integrations work really well. That's a significant part of my job, especially with this remote learning we've been doing and everything else. We're one-to-one Chromebook, so we have 3,800-ish running around, and so lots of students are on the Chromebooks all the time, and so trying to find ways to make that smooth for them, make sure that they have uninterrupted service with their teachers, and that also with that in mind, how can we help the teachers to leverage the fact that the students have Chromebooks? So we have to think a lot about what platforms do we use? How does it flow with their day? How do we not add extra steps for them, but actually take away steps to make things smoother for them? That's a lot of the Google administrative stuff and the normal, I forgot my password and things aren't loading and the internet's down and those kinds of things. The other side of it is I do the technology innovation. So I'm always trying to think of ways to rework how the classroom functions. I've partnered with Google on things. I know I've worked with Gaggle forever. I've partnered with Nintendo and brought them here. We've done a lot of really interesting projects with different partners because I don't necessarily have all of the ideas. So having partners and bring their ideas in and morph them into what works for us is really a powerful setup that we've successfully done for a really long time. So the innovation part is looking at the classroom and how can we still effectively, teach the kids and make sure that they understand the content, but in some kind of a new way, be it virtual reality or some kind of STEM activity or a combination of both. I mean, there's a whole litany of things that we've done over the years that have been an innovative way to teach kids. It's the same content. It's just what's a new way we can approach that content to effectively get them to understand the things they should.
Right.
This is the other half of what I do.
Well, that sounds like a really interesting combination of different pieces of technology. So what makes me think of is, based on that, over the last 12 months, this whole situation that we've been in with either fully remote or hybrid, I'm not sure where your district is at the moment, but that must have been a huge challenge for you to kind of figure out how to handle that. And that must have pushed the envelope a little bit on the innovation side of things. So do you want to talk to that a little bit?
Sure, it really did. Originally, with this innovative kind of mindset, you always knew where the kids were. They were in the classroom and you had that set framework of space where they're in a classroom and we can do these projects and we can do these things at a set time in a set way. And when the hybrid stuff happened, not only when it happened, we knew this, the district shut down and we had like 3 days to like stand up everything we were going to do remotely starting 3 days later. It was intense, and it wouldn't be without the guys that I work with here as a team to make that happen. It was a monumental undertaking that I reflect on and I'm thinking we did that, and it was pretty incredible. But what changed from my point of view with the innovative stuff was the classroom became everywhere. There was no classroom necessarily anymore other than where they were. So their digital device was the classroom. And so how can you innovate? And it almost became triage, where you just want to try to innovate to make sure things were still moving forward, things were still productive. And, you know, and it's not just student focused. Like, how can I help teachers feel comfortable with these skills that they've either avoided, or they've avoided, or they had no confidence in, or they were worried about trying, or had no belief in it. And you have to help them understand that this is going to work because it has to. We don't have a choice. And how can we do this together? So it was definitely reworked my innovative thinking. And the other part of that is a lot of the innovative stuff we were doing was hands-on. You know, we would have hands-on to hardware, hands-on to ideas, and these kinds of things. And not only that, when you have a new project, you have to roll it out and, you know, and kind of baby it through, and you have to make visits and help them and kind of get the momentum going. When you can't go to a place where they're all in one place to build that momentum, how do you get them to adopt new ideas when you can't necessarily see them? I mean, you can't see them physically. I can see them virtually, but when they have something that doesn't work, how do you help them work through that? When you have a teacher that gets stuck in a set of steps, how do you help them move through those steps? And so it was a lot of rethinking when the classroom expanded to everywhere.
Well, that's interesting, because I mean, the whole concept of not, so being able to see the person, but virtually, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of things that you're kind of missing there.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, and not only are you missing stuff, but then the things that you look for is like these projects that I like to get into is you want to try to develop a project and have a thing happen that can self-sustain, that it will either have so much momentum that it can't stop being a thing, or that teachers and students get so used to it and or comfortable and familiar with it that it continues on its own. And in this whole, you know, hybrid learning and everything else we've done, my biggest concern from, it didn't take me long to realize it, was as soon as we get through this, how many of them are going to say, well, that's over, and I'm going back to where I was. And I'm thinking, but you've gained so many skills. I want to keep leveraging that, your belief in yourself and these new skills you have. You shouldn't just stop because everyone's in the classroom now. You can still keep things shifted and new in this new way that you've already proven you can do for a year. Let's continue that. And so I just didn't want them to slide back into that groove that they were in before.
Right. And I mean, that's one of the things when we've been talking to some other district leaders around the country that we're hearing is that, you know, what the disruption of what's happened over the last year has really forced a lot of change and innovation and technology use. And going forward, it's not like, and we're going to go back to where we were before. It's actually a positive of all this is we're learning how to do things in a different way that in a lot of ways is better using technology. So to your point.
Yeah, it can be. You have to be careful though. We'll have people that, you know, say, oh, it's better with technology, but you have people that don't feel like it is. And so even with the skills that they've learned, it's a dangerous statement to say, oh, it's better with technology, because not only has it created the space of, you know, innovation and new ideas, but screen time is always a conversation everyone has. And so, you know, but there's a subset of people that say, well, this is coming to a close and we're going to get back to normal, so therefore screen time is less relevant, therefore missing the point that it's the value of the screen time that matters. It's not just screen time as a general statement. It's what value is behind the screen time that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking at a screen all day playing Fluffy Bunny Run, then sure, there's no value there. But if you're using it to, you know, learn about the periodic table or explore and create, you know, an experience in Tour Creator, explaining how, you know, you're showing regions around the country and stuff in this new digital space instead of making a trifold brochure, that's very useful. That is a great way to use it where it is better with technology. But if I say it's better with technology, you're going to get an eyebrow raise thinking, are you sure? Yeah. So.
Yeah, I hear you. That makes sense. Well, and then sort of adding the layer of Gaggle onto this, you know, you've been a Gaggle customer for a while, and I know that, you know, we've talked about that a little bit, you know, the benefits of having Gaggle in place, given the needs, especially with the technology, you know, in the current environment and going forward. I wonder if you could talk about, you know, what sort of value that sort of safety net is adding in terms of, you know, supporting your kids and making sure your kids are safe.
Sure. That's actually one of the great things about what we had in place when we went to the, you know, remote learning and then hybrid later was, you know, in a in the traditional sense, you'll see the kids at school and the teachers will know, like, oh, you know, Jimmy seems down for the last week or something. Is something going on with Jimmy or wherever? But you're getting to physically see them. So there's nonverbal communications that you were getting that we lost when they left, because when you're in a Zoom meeting, they can turn the camera off, or they're messing with their dog, or it's just a brief, you know, X amount of time doing a thing. And if it's optional, then they're not even going to be there. And so having Gaggle in place meant that even though the classroom was everywhere, we were able to intervene and be a part of some of the dangerous situations that they may have been in that we wouldn't see. So it became more important to have something like Gaggle in place versus less, because we, without Gaggle, we wouldn't know the kids that weren't at school, which was everyone. We would have no idea that, oh, they're having trouble with this, or they're, you know, writing an essay about that. And therein, the essay was language that kind of lent itself to, that seems like something we should like ask about. Are they okay? And maybe that's their only way to reach out, because before they could reach out in person, like, I'm gonna go talk to the social worker, or I'm gonna, you know, give cues to my teacher or something that some other adult that's in the safety net of school is going to notice, and I will, you know, get some help or have a chance to talk. That wasn't really the case. So having Gaggle there made us capable of knowing things that we wouldn't know because we didn't see them in person. So it was incredible. I mean, we went and added the we turned on Google Hangouts, for example, during the pandemic, which we generally have off. We turned it on because kids wanted a way to communicate, whether for schoolwork or just together, because we all needed socialization and all of those things. And having that feature was great because kids would be chatting about stuff that they would be chatting about vocally that we would otherwise miss. And we didn't miss things. And it was extremely helpful to have that layer there, knowing that peace of mind for us, knowing that they're the kids. I mean, even more so when you think about a school day, we would leverage Gaggle like in the middle of the night when they're sending messages to each other and doing stuff they shouldn't. But during the day, we had them covered. Now we never did have them covered. And so even during the day, we would now know if something was going on that was dangerous or needed help or a discussion or something like that.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, having eyes on these kids in whatever fashion it is possible. And if you're not in person, this is another way to do it. So,
This is the only way to do it. I mean,
yeah.
I think about, you know, districts that don't have some kind of thing in place. There's Gaggle and there's, you know, various others. They don't have something. And as a person that's, you know, used it forever and been a part of the process for quite a while, I can't even fathom the idea of not having something like this in place. It doesn't even compute, because it not only can intervene with, you know, high level events that need to be intervened with now, but it can also be all the way down to a student, you know, emailing a friend about a topic that isn't necessarily intervention style, but it's something that they're not comfortable asking a loved one about. And so now the social worker will know and they can start the conversation with the parents, and then the family can handle it. Like, there's just so many little things that if you, I just think of all the things that we've experienced and intervened with that if we didn't have Gaggle, we wouldn't. And I can't articulate how grateful I am that that's there.
So do you feel, I mean, I guess it's hard to put a number on any of this stuff, but I mean, maybe you could talk a little bit to, you know, your experience with Gaggle. Like, do you feel like it's really helped kids through crises and situations that otherwise wouldn't have been made aware? I mean, do you want, I don't know if
To
you.
every degree, to every degree. We've had situations where a student will write in a Google Doc something that's going on because they know Gaggle is there. And that's their way of asking without asking for help. And Gaggle will flag it and we'll start our process to make sure they're taken care of. We've stopped, you know, cyberbullying, which, you know, obviously spiked because everybody was, you know, doing cyber learning anyway. That was very, very handy. And I think in addition to that, it was just the fact that we as teachers and administrators and staff members knew if something was going to go awry and they did it on one of our systems, we could be there to help no matter what. And when, you know, teachers are at home and kids are at home, I'm able to, from wherever I am, reach out and know that they need help wherever they are. It removes geography from the equation. And that was huge because there wasn't any geography for a year. There barely is now. So.
Right. So going forward, it's important to keep this sort of safety net in place.
Oh, the safety net's not going anywhere. Like, I don't, it, like, of the, every time there's like a budget year and these things we're redoing, I've got my big three, and it's the Google Apps and Gaggle and Clever are the three that I'm like, those three that I can't we can't function in the way that, we can't function with the level of service we provide to our users without those three. Their expectation is that, and we need those to meet that expectation.
Excellent. You know, one of the things that we think about, and I know district leaders think about like yourselves, is, you know, there's an investment in tools such as Gaggle. You know, what if you think about like what that is, that investment worth it? What's kind of the ROI on that in terms of student safety?
Sure. I think, you know, I've been asked that question because I'm a huge advocate here for it. And every time the ROI isn't the traditional one. So like if we're buying, let's say 1,000 Chromebooks or something, the ROI looks like, well, we have 1,000 Chromebooks, we're going to give them to 1,000 kids. Therefore they can do their learning and meet their assessments and on and on and on. When it comes to, you know, Gaggle and what their ROI is, their ROI is, did you save somebody's life? Did you intervene with somebody? Did you make a difference for a kid at a low level or a high level of something that's going on? There isn't any comparison there. Like it doesn't make a difference. And if we rework that thinking and say, it's going to cost you X amount of dollars to use Gaggle. Well, that's true. How many lives did you save? One. Done. Like that's it. Okay. I can't. It's hard to explain to people who haven't used something like this to have them really understand that you're not getting like a product at the end of the day necessarily, but you are saving someone, or you're intervening with someone, or you're making a difference now that will spiral into them, you know, growing and flourishing into something later. And that kind of ROI viewpoint is important with Gaggle. It's not about just the dollars. It's about what do those dollars do? And, you know, little Betty is now in a safe place, because we knew at 3 a.m. she was having a tough time. And I got that right there completely removes the traditional return on investment conversation, because Gaggle wants this much money. That's great. But you know what? You guys are saving kids and keeping them safe. And it's more than just that. It isn't just Gaggle kept them safe. Gaggle has a support team in place where if you need something, they will help you. They're all, you know, they have a person behind it. They will call you if something's going on. If you have a group of kids that are going to do a research study on something that would otherwise get flagged, you can let them know and they will say, okay, we won't, false positives, we'll keep an eye out and just skip all those so you don't spook the kids anyway. I mean, there's just so much. Gaggle's really good at bending and flexing with what we need to do. And then that right there is not just a traditional place where you're like, well, who do I call to get help? How does this work? I know exactly who it is. I mean, I write poems and stuff in my support tickets for the Gaggle folks because they're so great and I know how hard they work, and the little support things that are like, oh, how do we do? Give us an update. They need some kind of laughter or a beat, you know, viewpoint of something, because they're dealing with hard hitting stuff every single day. And so knowing that, you know, guys like me and hopefully others can add some light to their busy days is really nice, because they do a great deal for us. I mean, just to keep going, like I'll be too busy to do a Gaggle change of some kind, and I'll just email support and tell them, hey, I'm really busy and I don't have time to do this. I know how, but can you just do this? And they're like, we got you. We'll just do this for you. And it's so fantastic.
Well, that's great to hear. I mean, you know, Gaggle's a common, we have this technology side of it, which is what is, you know, capturing what is potentially a problem. And then it goes to the human side, which are all these people that you're talking about, our safety representatives, our customer support people. You know, it's wonderful to hear what you're saying, because that the human side of Gaggle is just, you know, sort of a behind the scenes, only customers see them, but they're so important to what we do and what, you know, I think makes us a different kind of service than any other type that exists, you know.
So many are using algorithms and AI for these things, and I applaud the developers that create those, and those are wonderful tools, and I'm sure that they work, but And my job in education, my product is humans. And you guys, there's a human behind the product that's helping me. And that like human-to-human interaction just makes it completely worth it every 10 times over.
Excellent. And I have to say, some of the customer support people they've shared with me like, oh, we got this poem today.
Oh my gosh. I've written poems. I've reworked, I think just recently I reworked the lyrics of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme song. I reworked it to be Gaggle. What I'll do is I'll save the, I get that thing that's like, how did we do? Click the right here. And I'll leave it on my inbox for a few days and kind of stew on it and think like, what can I do? Like what fits? And I rewrote, you know, the in Star Wars, that like words that come up like in a galaxy far, far away. I rewrote one of those for the support thing. I think I did a Dr. Seuss rewrite once around like March, because that's Dr. Seuss's birthday somewhere in there. Just kind of whatever comes up in my brain, because I just, they do so much good work that I get to do something silly. And speaking of the human element, I appreciate that. Like when I talk to anybody at Gaggle, whether it's you or whoever else, like they mention like, oh, we read the things and we like them. I'm like, oh, good. I'm glad you smiled. Now, this is a story all about how my filtering got flipped, turned upside down. And I'd like to take a minute just sitting right here to say how I became the filter of a town called Blaine County. Didn't rhyme. In Central Idaho, students and teachers on the Gmails is where they spent most of their days, chilling out, emailing, relaxing all cool, and all shooting some emails inside and outside of school. When a couple of students who were up to no good started making trouble in my district hood, I got caught in one little filter and my Google admin got scared. Said, you're moving with your emails to the filter called Gaggle.
So is there anything else that we haven't talked about that you'd like to mention as part of this podcast? And, you know, we've kind of covered lots of bases here.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the primary thing that I want to, you know, as people are listening and we're talking about all these Gaggle type things, it's, you don't know what it's like to partner with Gaggle until you do. Mm-hmm. You just, it's hard to explain. It's similar to, you don't know what it's like to drive a Ferrari until you're, I mean, I never have, but until you do. So clearly I don't know what that's like, but like, you just don't get it until you're like, I get it now. And once you're kind of in that circle and you're kind of going, you know, through that, and you have these incidents that come up and, you know, the stress that we have when it happens, but we know that, you know, we're working on one, but other ones, we don't have to worry because Gaggle's watching those. And you just, it's you know, in a podcast or if I'm, you know, in person talking to somebody about it or anywhere, it's really hard to explain unless you live it, you know. And it's not like it doesn't take one of the things that I've been asked before was, you know, being the Gaggle administrator, does that take a lot of time? Is it a bunch of extra work on your workflow and all these things? It really isn't. It's not any more on my workflow than anything else that I do. And this is more rewarding than just setting up Chromebooks. Like, this is something that, sure, it's a task that, you know, has to come up, and I do my part of the, you know, I'm a cog in the machine with others, but it's worth it because we're helping a student with whatever the scenario might be, whether they're hungry or they have other, you know, scenarios that are happening, and we can help with that. And it's so intrinsically rewarding, and it wouldn't be possible without, you know, Gaggle, and more importantly, the humans behind it, because you can call them back. And when I call them about a thing, they call me and I miss it. I call them up and they're like, yeah, let me get you the person that called you and we can talk about it. And they'll let me know they've already got a hold of somebody else, or yeah, we need this information or whatever. And it's, you can't see the value in it. And obviously that requires a district to commit, start using it and all these kinds of things, which is a huge, huge decision. But I've been doing this job for almost a decade, and I have not once regretted working with Gaggle, ever. Paying for it, working with them, talking about new ideas, trying stuff, I mean, never. And that's hard to say, because I work with a lot of different programs and stuff, and I mean, I just think of the stuff that I've done, like, I think when I, like, partnered with Nintendo, there's some pieces I regret. I could have done different. There's some other partners I've worked with, I'm like, well, you kind of look back later, and you reflect on it, but with Gaggle, I'm like, and? You're like my best friend at work. Like, I don't have any issues. We're good. And so, but you don't get it until you're a part of it. And, you know, talking with you or, you know, and shout out to Ross up on the support team, like these guys, they do. And then to your point where you're saying, you know, they're doing really hard work and they're seeing, you know, the basically their whole day is working with challenging situations, but every time you talk to them, they never behave that way. They're just happy to talk to whoever it is and help them. And like, that's it. Like, they have this unending, like, powered by helpfulness. I don't even know how they do that. And it's, you guys have a really interesting hiring process, because you hire all these people that are either solar powered or something, because they're always happy. They're always excited to help, and they're always there. And like, I can't even think of one incident where I've needed something and it took them any time at all to help me. Like, none. And that's incredible. From a guy that, you know, deals with a whole bunch of different stuff.
It's a partnership, you know, and working with people like yourselves in districts across the country, it's like, you know, we do everything we do, meeting you where you are, and you're doing everything you're doing, which is such a heavy lift, you know. So I think that we're all sort of on the same path of trying to help these kids and get them the help they need as quickly as possible and, you know, do the best we can to ensure the safety and well-being of students across the country. So, you know, thank you.
And it's so abundantly clear that you care.
Paul, we really appreciate your taking the time today. And thank you, Paul, for joining us today and for that great conversation. And thank you to all of our listeners as well. Please join us for other Gaggle podcasts.